Welcome back to the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today is the lovely Dr. Stone, and we talk about her journey into fitness, health, medicine, thyroid issues, how to fix it, and many more things. Stay tuned.
There we go. Hey, sorry, I was having trouble connecting there for a minute.
No, it's all good. Don't worry. It's all good. I know sometimes it takes a couple seconds until it's connected, but yeah. Hope everything is good. I really appreciate you for taking the time today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chat with you.
Anytime, you're very welcome. Yeah, I would just say we can start. Tell people who you are and a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so my name is Dr. Carolyn Stone. I am a naturopathic doctor practicing in Tempe, Arizona. The primary focus of my practice is thyroid disorders, but also adrenal and hormone issues. So I see the gamut of things. And so I did my undergrad at Kent State in Ohio. And then, so I'm not sure where everyone's at. That's on your team there, on your list there. But yeah, I grew up in Ohio and then came out to Arizona to go to med school, and I just never left. So been running my practice. Let's see, I started it in 2013. Finally went out on my own at that point, had worked like odd jobs and did some teaching, you know, anatomy and physiology, which was always fun. But yeah, I've been at my current place since 2015 and just been loving it. And I don't even know really when I started on Instagram. I have no idea. Like, everything seems like a blur the past few years, but yeah, kind of been rocking on here for at least a couple of years.
That's awesome. Yeah. So how many years did you study? Because as most people know, when it's coming to medicine, some people study 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever.
Yeah. So 4 years undergrad, 4 years medical school. And then I did an internship for a year after that before finally kind of getting out on my own and trying to figure it out.
That's awesome. And since 2013, you basically finished with everything.
Yeah. So I graduated in 2011, and then 2013. So, you know, for a couple of years, I worked at other places and was just trying to get my footing. But 2013, I decided that was it. I kind of wanted to start my own thing. And so I've been building that ever since.
That's awesome. Yeah. Before we go in all these details and everything, how did you get involved into medicine or try to be a doctor? Was it always a dream for you? Did you always think about that as a kid, or did that come a little bit later?
Yeah, no, I actually always wanted to be a doctor. Like, I never really imagined myself doing anything else. So since I was a kid, I knew that's what I wanted to be. But it wasn't really until college that I learned about naturopathic medicine. So naturopathic doctors actually aren't licensed in Ohio. So I had no idea what a naturopathic doctor was until like my junior year of college, when I realized, you know, I was shadowing conventional doctors and just realized that that wasn't really the path that I wanted to take. It wasn't what I envisioned medicine to be. So then I had to get out, you know, my old clunky laptop, because at that time they were like as thick as a Bible.
Yeah.
And so pulled that old dusty thing out, did some research, and that's when I found naturopathic medicine. So I started researching schools, and, you know, the rest is history from there. So yeah, I've always wanted to be in medicine. There's just something about it that I'm drawn to.
That's awesome. You probably were always smart, I can imagine.
I don't know about that, but clever enough.
Well, yeah, I think especially as a doctor, you definitely need to be a little bit intelligent, at least, because...
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's a grueling process to get here, but well worth it. I would say probably the hardest part is actually after you graduate school, looking back, and I'm like, okay, that was the easy piece. And then it's learning how to actually practice the things that you've learned. And then on top of that, learning how to run a business, which is not something that I had envisioned, but that was kind of the card I was dealt. So it's been fun.
Well, that's awesome. And did you, from day one, know, okay, what specific field you want to study, or you just thought, okay, I just see what comes out?
Yeah, so I actually always thought that I was going to do a lot of work with diabetes. So I have family members with both type 2 and type 1. So I actually spent a lot of time studying diabetes, you know, did some rotations around that. Just that was really what I thought I was going to focus on. And then I got out. And when I started my own practice, that was just not what was coming in my door. Now, at the time, I knew nothing about marketing, right? I was just trying to be a doctor, didn't know about marketing, didn't really know about running a business. I was just trying to figure it out. And so that just wasn't what came to me. And so over time, I found, okay, more women were coming to my practice than men, and most of them had thyroid hormone and adrenal issues. And then I also, gosh, it wasn't, I don't even remember what year it was, but shortly after I'd started my practice, I actually have Hashimoto's as well, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And so just trying to heal myself, it really kind of became a journey for me where I felt like that was where I could have the most impact on people because I understood it well because I went through it. So yeah, no, I did not know when I graduated that this was what I was going to be doing, but it's where I've landed, and I'm super excited because I love doing this stuff. It really, it's exciting for me. It's a passion for me. Like, it never feels like work to me when I get to talk about this stuff.
That's awesome. I can definitely see that's your passion because you're so happy and have that beautiful smile. So it definitely means that it's your passion. That's always the best when people follow the passion. But of course, sometimes you need to understand, and I think a lot of people make that mistake, just to follow your passion, that doesn't immediately pay everything you need. So sometimes you need to do also things you don't like to get to the point where you want to be. And I mean, if it's from day one, if it works perfect, you follow your passion and make immediately money with that, and it's a living, that's perfect. But sometimes you still have to take the difficult route to get to where you want to be.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I first graduated, I was working probably four different jobs while I was trying to get my practice off the ground. So, you know, I was teaching, I was tutoring, I was working at another clinic and trying to build my practice in that process. So it was a lot of hard work. I had to do a lot of things that I didn't absolutely love, but it was fine because I knew what the end goal was. So I was willing to go through the trenches to get there.
Yeah, that's very important. You need to have a big why, and you need to know exactly why you're doing all the things, because if not, then it's very easy to get off track. As soon as the first hard obstacles come, most people give up, and only the people who really want something, they just push through that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think you definitely did that. That's awesome.
Yeah,
That's why I'm very happy for you. Now you can follow finally your passion and do basically what you want.
it really just, you know, it doesn't mean that there aren't hard days or challenges. I mean,
Course,
having
course.
challenges is part of, right, running a business and being in medicine, but it's all of those experiences make it just worth it when you're doing something that you really have a passion for and your heart is really in. It makes it easy to deal with the other stuff that you don't necessarily want to do.
Yeah, that's so
Or you just
true.
pay someone to do it for you.
That's awesome. I mean, that's the best. I'm always a big fan of, to do things where you're the best at, and the things you're not so good, you, if possible, somebody else is doing the job. So, because I mean, technically, you can really learn everything you want, but I don't want to focus my time to do that, where it takes me maybe 10, 20 hours every week to figure it out. And then finally, after years, I can do that while I can focus at the same time at my strength, and somebody else, that's their strength to do what I hate. So yeah, why not?
Exactly. It's all about
Outsource is the best.
delegating, which is sometimes hard, you know?
No, that's definitely true. But I mean, I think you definitely figured it out. I can see that at least, and you're very happy with the things you do, and that's awesome.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you have to be, you know? What's the point of doing it if you don't at least enjoy it a little? 'Cause
That's
I think that
definitely
makes us
very.
healthier too, right?
Yes, that's definitely very true. And speaking of health, first of all, why do you think so many people have thyroid issues, and where does it come from?
Yeah, so you know, the main focus of my practice is hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. So the majority, you know, 90%, if not more, cases of hypothyroidism are actually Hashimoto's. So we have to think about this from an autoimmune perspective. So we know that autoimmune diseases are on the rise, and I
Yes.
think that that points to the I think there's several pieces to this. One, our food quality here in the States, you know, in terms of chemicals that we're exposed to, pesticides, herbicides, all of those things. So I think that has an impact on it. Also, just lack of nutrition in general. So we know, you know, depending on what people are eating, but even if you're eating all organic, right, best foods possible, we know that our soils are depleted of nutrients. So you
Yes,
can be doing the best
exactly.
that you can and still be missing out on some things. So I think nutrition has a lot to do with it, especially considering that there's a pretty big connection between thyroid disorders and blood sugar dysregulation. And there's only, I think it was like 12% of US Americans have healthy metabolism. So
Yeah,
we know
that's
that there's
great.
a big Yeah, there's a huge metabolism issue. And so I think that that plays into thyroid health. And then we also think about other environmental factors, our air quality, our water quality. You know, a lot of water is fluoridated. We know fluoride is a halogen, so that can displace iodine, which causes thyroid issues. So I think it has a lot to do with the way that we're living and the impact that that is and the things that we're exposed to. I think that has a huge impact on thyroid issues.
Yeah, that's definitely so true. I mean, I saw that post, I think, from Dr. Heyman. He posted it with the 12% with gut health. I mean, that's America, but I think in Germany it's not that far away. Maybe it's 15 or 20%, but I mean, the diet here is also bad. I know you guys in America have it worse when it comes to pesticide and everything because you have Monsanto there, and in Europe it's forbidden. But funny thing is, very sad also, like Monsanto is the daughter company from Bayer. You know, Bayer produces, you know, aspirin and stuff like that, and Bayer's actually here in Germany, so that it's in the city. It's just 35 minutes from me away, so very, very sad.
So you guys have to deal with some of the similar things, even though maybe it's not to the level that we do here.
But they do it on the sneaky way anyway, and that's why for me it's like always I've always a dream, like when everything is perfect, like business is set up the right way. I want to live like people live in the nature, because I have family in Morocco, and obviously there everything is perfect when it comes to health, because the foundation is just it's perfect. I have an uncle living close to the mountains and to the sea. They have their own chicken, their own vegetable and stuff like that, and that's why they don't have any rings, nothing. He's 68, no rings, no nothing, still very healthy. You think like he's 40 or so, because they have no stress, have the best food, you know, clear air, seas just a mile away, so that's optimal. For me, that will be the best life for sure.
The closer we can be to our natural state and nature itself, the better off we're going to be. And unfortunately, here in the States, we are pretty far removed from nature in so many ways. You know, it's a concrete jungle in a lot of these places, so it's hard to get out in nature. You know, I can't just walk out and touch grass all the time. You actually have to like go somewhere to do that, which means driving your car, right? So that's a whole thing.
That's definitely true, and that's why, because you also said something about water, that's why many years ago I started to use water filter, because that's definitely one thing that helps. But actually in America is also a company, Kangen Water. They came from Japan. They have very clear and filtered water, so everything's like perfect, and the nutrients, they did it like so you have only the good things left in the water. And I think just the water quality can really help you with the gut. And I mean, as you know, as a doctor, your health, you know, stays and falls with the gut. So if your gut is healthy, you're healthy. And if your gut is unhealthy, you're unhealthy.
Exactly. That's typically what most naturopathic doctors are preaching. Like most of the time, if I can fix the gut, the rest will fall into place. I mean, you might have to do some other peripheral things, but the gut is really where so much of that comes from. And not just physical health, that's mental, emotional health as well. We know there's that gut-brain connection. So anxiety, depression, all of that can stem from gut imbalances too.
Yeah, that's definitely very important. What would you say when people ask you, because I'm sure a lot of people ask you that probably when they come to you and they have thyroid issues, what are the first steps you do?
So to me, it's always about setting the foundation first. And so when I think about foundation, I think about, again, nutrition and gut health. I think about stress management because stress is oftentimes one of the most common triggers that I see for people with Hashimoto's in particular. So to develop Hashimoto's, but it always gets turned on by something, and oftentimes that's stress. So I always talk about nutrition, stress, sleep. So making sure that they're getting good quality sleep. We know that's when we heal and there's a lot of cellular repair happening. Exercise, that's huge. So getting people moving and moving in a way that's actually beneficial for their thyroid. So because I work with a lot of women, a lot of them like to do endless amounts of cardio, you know, running on the treadmill, doing the elliptical. And so I'm always trying to get them to start lifting weights because that is much more beneficial for thyroid. So those are some of the foundational things that I start with because once those are in place, it's easier to see if there's other issues, if there's underlying, chronic infections, or if there's exposures, or some other imbalance, like let's say an imbalance in the adrenals or an imbalance in the hormones. It's much easier to see those things when you've got those foundational pieces in place. A lot of times people work on the lifestyle piece and then they're good and they actually don't need anything beyond that. So instead of starting with the fancy tests and the fancy supplements and all that, I use supplements all the time and I definitely do specialty testing, but I'm usually starting with the basics first because I find that that corrects a lot of the things people are dealing with.
Yeah, definitely that helps. What I always do is like twice a year, I do always a big blood picture so I can see how everything is. And based on that, I take my supplements because a lot of people, they just take supplements. I mean, you cannot go wrong with vitamin D or vitamin C, but I want to have the exact, numbers, what to take and, how long and everything. So that's why twice a year I do the big blood picture and then have the exact results.
And I'm usually, so for all my patients, they're getting a good workout at least twice a year, sometimes every quarter, especially if they're on medication that needs to be managed. But it's unfortunate. The internet can be a really great place for information, but it also can be information overload. And so some people come in with literally like grocery bags full of supplements that they, heard someone talk about on Instagram or Facebook, whatever it was, and they had no idea whether or not it was appropriate for them or if the vitamins were in the right form so that they could actually absorb them, or if it was contraindicated because of medications they were on. So it's very common to see people overloaded with supplements. And so I always think it's best when you can to test and actually see what that person's need, because you're going to save them time and money because supplements are very expensive. So I usually try to be very mindful about how I do that with folks.
That's definitely very true. And I mean, exercise and good, nutrition is always key. Protein is something a lot of people underestimate. I know you're also a big, meat supporter, which
Oh,
is
yeah.
definitely great. People just, have false information and think it's bad because of everything you see. And of course, I mean, if you have the best meat, but it's, contaminated and they put all sorts of things into these animals, of course you will get the same, issues in your body. So you have to see that's organic and everything. But if it's organic and all natural, there's no problems with that.
And a lot of times what I try to teach my folks is that everything has to be individualized. There might be, there's going to be similar themes across the board in terms of what people need in order to survive and be healthy, but there's a lot of nuance in there for the individuals. So I'll start with, baseline diet, do an elimination diet with a lot of folks, and then we
Yes.
start reintroducing foods to see what's going to work best for them? What makes their energy better? What makes them sleep better? What makes them feel better after a workout? What helps them build muscle and get rid of body fat if that's one of their goals? So there's a lot of individualization that can happen. And so much of that people can actually do on their own. It's having guidance will get you there faster.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And I mean, there was a question how to lose belly fat. Well, very simple, just eat less than you're eating right now. Do some exercise, have a little bit, patience, and the rest will follow with the time. That's basically that's it's not a big science. People sometimes really with building muscles or losing belly fat, they make a big science out of that, but it's not. And I can say that as an athlete, it's very simple. You just need to be focused and dedicated, and then it will come.
Oftentimes, if I've got patients who are worried about belly fat, there's things that I certainly think about because you tend to accumulate more fat in the belly if you have adrenal dysfunction or hormone imbalances or even thyroid imbalances. So always getting the blood work done to make sure that you don't have any issues there. But generally you have to, I always have people start with just making sure they're getting enough protein because so many women are
Yes.
not getting enough protein. So if I get them eating enough protein, usually the rest just falls into place. So that's a good way to get started.
That's so true. Like, I don't know why that is, because maybe some women they hate meat or whatever, but for some reasons women always get almost nothing with protein at all. They have just, maybe not even 50 gram protein a day.
I'm always encouraging them to eat more, and it takes a little bit of time to titrate them up because they're not used to doing that. So I don't know where that comes from. I'm sure there's something in our history that has told us, like, I don't know, that steak is man food. I don't know, but I think it's definitely food. If you've ever seen her name's Dr. Ellie Michelle, she calls it lady food. So I think that's great. I think steak is definitely lady food.
Yeah, that's true. So, steak for all the ladies out there, it will not do anything with your beauty or so. So you'll still look great. Yeah,
Exactly.
that's something probably they think. But yeah, protein is very important. That's why it's even on shampoos it says there's protein in it, whatever. Even if it's not really true, but that just says how important protein is. Because as soon as you fix that issue in the nutrition, have more protein, everything, builds up on that, and then you'll get healthier.
Yeah, and people, if they're getting enough protein, tend to have less cravings for things like sugar, for example. So if you're starting with the right nutrients, the rest of the stuff, it just naturally tends to fall to the wayside because you are satiated with the food that you're getting and you're getting the nutrients that you need. So proteins is a way to go.
That's so true, because think about that as a test. Let's say you're starving, you're very hungry. Eat like 200, 300 gram of meat, drink a little bit water to that, and then see how full your belly is. So with protein, you cannot really overeat. The thing what would
Yes.
happen is that you have to throw up. But with carbs, even if you're full, but you kind of still can eat and want to eat more and more and more. But with protein, it's not the case. Once you're full, you're full.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. That's why I always, yep, like I said, get women start with protein first, and it just makes it easier for them than less cookies and other junk.
Definitely, that's true. There was also a question, what's the best protein for vegetarians?
Well, that's a hard one because I don't necessarily ascribe to a vegetarian lifestyle, but a lot of vegetarians will eat fish
Eggs.
or eggs. So if they can focus on those, then that would be a good thing. It's harder for vegans for sure because they aren't incorporating any type of animal
That's
food, but
true.
for vegetarians, eggs are a great source and fish is a great source as well. Just make sure farm fish, which is notorious for being kind of diseased and lower quality.
Yeah, definitely. So I think, and also people, if they feel like unwell or not sure, always go to a doctor first. So
Oh,
let them
yeah.
check you quick, what you have, what issues, so if everything is fine, and then based on that you can work out to do your nutrition plan.
Yeah, and with vegans and vegetarians, we know there's certain nutrient deficiencies that they're going to be more prone to, like iron, B12, and zinc. So getting a look at those will help you navigate what foods you need. Like, oysters can be rich in zinc. So if they're willing to do that, then that might be another good protein source for them. So yeah, getting tested always helps guide those nutritional recommendations.
How did you get rid of your issues? Because like you said in the beginning, you also had a couple of issues, but now it seems to be everything fine. I mean, you look great. Your shape is amazing. It seems like you probably also work out and everything. But yeah, how did you get rid of all your issues?
Yeah, so I actually took a while. So when I was in med school, I mean, like most people in medical school, they're working very long hours, not really taking care of themselves as well. Just yeah, so my adrenals were not were not very healthy. And so that really is what kind of led me into black for a second.
Sorry.
But you're good, you're good. But yeah, so for me, it was focusing first on healing my adrenal glands. And so there's, when somebody has a severe adrenal fatigue, I'm not going to have them strength training in the gym 5 days a week because that's actually going to make them feel worse. So I started with more gentle things. I did a lot of yoga, a lot of just more basic movements, just trying to build up. But the biggest pieces were, I got my nutrition really dialed in. That was kind of my first focus and had gentle movement. Then once I felt like my adrenals were better healed, my hormones were better healed, then I was able to incorporate more strength training. And I would say once I started strength training, that was the game changer for me. That was one main game changer. And then over the past, what, 7.5 months now, I switched my diet to a more animal-based diet, and that was another kind of key turning point for me in terms of just feeling my best. And so I'm fortunate that I don't have to take thyroid medication. I did take it for a short period of time, but I found as I got healthier that I just didn't need it at that point. And that's not to say that I won't need it down the line, but right now everything seems to be maintained. And so where I'm at now, as far as, things that I do for myself, like sauna and, doing red light therapy and those types of things, like those are more recent additions. Cause I think some people see me doing that and they're like, oh, like I have to do all these things from the beginning. It's a
No
journey,
step by
right?
step.
So Yeah, exactly. So I'm at a point where I'm just trying different things to see how it makes me feel. But really, it was starting with nutrition and then strength training and then really kind of dialing in my nutrition to another level that made the difference for me.
Yeah, it's definitely, you have to take everything step by step. It's the same with people when they want to start martial arts. They always tell me, okay, I want to do this and this. And I just tell them, start first, and everything comes with the time. I didn't learn the split in a week or so. It takes a couple months. So, yeah, it's just, you have to be dedicated, and then the rest will follow up. How many days a week do you train right now?
Usually between 3 and 5, just depends on the week. So minimum of 3, and then I'm always like I try to have pretty active days. So even if I'm not working out in the gym, I mostly don't just sit around. I don't sit still very well anyway. So I'm usually up and walking or doing some type of work around the house or whatever it might be.
That's awesome. And you're probably also not doing the typical lady workouts like legs, belly, and booty workouts or so.
Well, there's some booty workouts in there for sure, but yeah, mostly lots of heavy lifting. I like squats and deadlifts, and I like to move heavy things. I don't know, it just builds confidence, and I think we do better when we're strong. So yeah, I just like to lift heavy things. Lots of kettlebells too.
Yeah, kettlebell is very effective for core strength, and you
Yeah.
get really strong. And I can also say that for martial arts, it really helps a lot, because you get, the stronger your core is, the more power you have in the punches and the kicks. That's why guys like Joe Rogan are so strong, because it really comes from their core strength. And I mean, when you see his kicks, he has even better kicks than some of the UFC fighters. Obviously, his
Yeah.
Taekwondo background is different, because he learned directly from his coach was a student of the founder of Taekwondo, so old school was always very hard. So for me, the same, my Taekwondo coach was competing in the first ever Olympics in 88, so I have direct lineage basically with the best people. So that's the one thing where I had in my life luck. For all the rest, I had to work hard for that, but when it comes to the coaches, I had one time in my life some luck.
Oh, that's awesome though. What an experience to have to learn from somebody who has that much, knowledge in terms of the skill set. That's great.
Yeah, that's also one of the reasons why I like to do the podcast, because like you said in the beginning, with the over information, one of the bad things, or negative things we have these days, is like you have just too much of information. But with the podcast, I always get to talk to the best people possible, and then I have just direct source to all the information, and that's one of the reasons why I really like that.
Yeah. That's why I love podcasts. It's just great to be able to share information, and I love listening to podcasts because, man, you can learn so much from so many people, especially if you're listening to experts in their area. It's just cool to hear what people know, and it's always enlightening, and I always learn something. So I love a good podcast.
Yes, definitely. Same here. What are the advices when people come to you and they say, okay, now they change everything. Nutrition is kind of getting on point, and then exercise as well. I'm sure there's probably like something they need to do to maintain that.
If they've got the foundations in place, if they're still having issues, if they're still having symptoms, or maybe they're still not feeling their best, that's when we start to dig into some deeper things that might be underlying that. One thing, like I mentioned, stress is a big issue. So I find that if people are not dealing, let's say they have a difficult marriage, or they've got, kids that are going through some things, or maybe they're a caregiver for a parent. And we have to consider all of those things as part of their treatment plan because their environment matters. So if somebody's still not well, I start looking at, okay, what else might be going on and hindering their ability to heal as well as they could. And I mentioned earlier, sometimes there's underlying infections, like maybe they have Epstein-Barr virus that's been reactivated. Maybe they have some gut infections that are lingering. Like maybe their gut feels a lot better than it did when we first started together, but there might still be a little something going on. So then maybe we need to do a stool test or look for H. pylori or something along those lines. So typically, if they're doing all the basics and they're having more symptoms, that's just a sign that there's something else going on that needs to be addressed. And so we start digging for that. And then once we get through that, so let's say they have an infection, right? We're able to clear that out and they're feeling pretty good. That's what I consider a maintenance level, and that's when we can start to play with things, right? So maybe they do want to try out doing, ice baths, or maybe they want to try out using a sauna on a regular basis. And that's when we can kind of have a little bit more fun because they're generally feeling good, and then we get to play with all the fun health things.
Well, that's definitely very helpful sometimes also to do things that gives you joy and that you really like. And what are the typical symptoms for thyroid issues? Let's say when people maybe thinking about that, if they have it or not, what are the typical symptoms?
So I would say, obviously one of the major symptoms that people come in with is going to be fatigue. But that's a very general symptom, and that a lot of different conditions can produce fatigue. So some things that might be more specific to thyroid would be hair loss, and that could be head hair loss. Oftentimes they'll lose the outer third of the eyebrow, so they might start to notice that. They might notice changes in their vision. So actually, people who have thyroid disorders, my friend Dr. Gettings was just talking about this, where they actually see colors differently, like things don't seem as bright, and they start to lose like peripheral vision. So we start to think about that. They can have like a swollen tongue sometimes, or a lot of times what I look for, because I have some training in acupuncture and Chinese medicine, so we do tongue diagnosis. So oftentimes you see those wavy lines along the side, which is usually a sign of spleen qi deficiency. So we look for that. We look at their nails. So their nails can be brittle, or they can have lines on their nails indicating that they have like a zinc deficiency. They might be retaining water, so they might have some swelling in the legs and ankles, or just generally kind of feel puffy. Is it the best way to describe it? And even their face, like I often see their face completely transforms once they get their thyroid under control. Like their nose doesn't seem as big, their cheeks look smaller. They often have trouble losing weight or just maintaining their weight. So they're doing all the things, or they think they're doing all the things right, but they're continuing to gain weight. And then we, for women, because the majority of my practice is women, and women more commonly are going to have thyroid issues than men. I think it's like six times more common in women, but they'll often have menstrual problems. So heavy periods, painful periods, abnormal periods. So looking for those things is really important as well.
Okay, so that's one of the reasons probably when some women, I thought maybe that's a myth or so, said that they're having, pain during sex or, it's not really comfortable for them.
And it's unfortunate because a lot of women will go to their doctor with either issues with painful intercourse or abnormal periods. And then in the States, the general rule of thumb is that a conventional doctor is just going to put you on birth control. If you have a period problem, they're putting you on birth control, which does
That's
not fix the
always the same.
problem. And it actually makes the problem worse because birth control will deplete nutrients like B vitamins, for example, which are critical for thyroid function. So birth control can actually be a trigger for Hashimoto's in some folks, or at least be making their symptoms worse.
Yes, and that is in general anyway not good for the body because it will create chaos to the hormone household. So that's why you should stick to natural if possible. I'm definitely not a fan of, drugs or medicine if not really necessary, because I believe, and I have the proof with a lot of doctors I talk to, that 80-90% of the things you can reduce or completely, delete with, healthy nutrition, exercise, and just natural stuff. Because there was a time when we as human were like in perfect condition, and obviously now it's not like 40, 50 years ago you can eat a tomato and then apple and everything is perfect. These days there's unfortunately more to do with that, but yeah, if you stick to the nature, you can basically reduce almost anything.
And all pharmaceuticals come from some natural substance anyways. They're just removing the natural substance from all of its other constituents that it works together with, right? They find one thing that they think is the active component and turn that into a drug, and that completely ignores the fact that in nature those things are together for a reason, because they help balance each other out, and they all work together in synergy. So when you start to remove the components, they actually don't work as well. And especially for women on birth control, they're just not properly informed. If somebody decides that they want to go on birth control knowing that it might deplete certain nutrients or that it might cause some imbalances, then that's their choice. But most women are not properly informed, and so that makes it extra difficult, because then they find out 10 years later, right? And now there's some major imbalances because of it, and we're trying to correct some of that. So it's a little tricky for sure.
Yeah, that's why it's always important to learn from the best people possible. And like I said, that's why I really love talking to guys like you, because you can immediately learn the best things and get the best information for yourself. Yeah, is there anything else you want to say? Maybe some last advice or something you want to promote or so?
Yeah. Well, I would say, for anyone that's listening, really the most important thing is to be an active participant in your health. You know, especially here in the States, don't rely on your conventional doctor to do the things or tell you the things that you need to know. If they're recommending a medication, research that medication, right? If they're telling you you have a diagnosis, go research that diagnosis, right? If you were just told you have a thyroid disorder, go look it up, go start researching it and become an advocate for yourself, because that's really the only way to be successful in the system here in the States. So learn as much as you can. Do the best that you can with nutrition and lifestyle. And, for anyone who has Hashimoto's, I do have a tiny little book that I wrote. It's more of like a guide. And so if they go to my Instagram page, there's a link there and they can check that out, because that's a great place to at least get started on the basics, so they can start working on that on their own and not wait for their doctor, because they'll probably never do it for them.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I will definitely put all in the description when it's on Spotify and iTunes. Can people also order that on Amazon or where can you?
Yeah, so it's actually a link to Amazon. Yeah. Yep, so it's right through Amazon. Yeah.
Perfect, because then people worldwide can get that book.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, I just want to help as many people as possible. So yeah, if people feel like, that might be helpful for them, go ahead and sign up.
That's perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you. I hope we can do many more podcasts in the future. I really love your content.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate you.
You're very welcome. Have a great day, everybody, and talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
That's it from the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today was the lovely Dr. Stone, and we talked about her journey into fitness, health, thyroid issues, how to fix them, some tips and advices for the people, nutrition, and many more things. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow her on Instagram if you want to know more about the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and all available platforms. Just type in the Martial Arts Show 2.0 and you'll find me there. Thank you for the support. Until next time, bye everybody.